Joining us this morning with a legislative update, 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Jeff. Great to be with you.
Good to be with you. I'm sure you're starting to see light at the end of the tunnel. Is what we're 2 weeks to go? Is that what we've got?
April 25th, yeah. So we just run our days together. This last week we were voting both Saturday and Sunday. So I don't always know what day is the next, but I try to focus hard and try to make the right votes. But yeah, April 25th is the scheduled final day of the 105-day session. We have all three budgets still to finalize. There's a transportation package, a new investment package that's in the works, a climate cap and trade bill, a low carbon fuel bill, and a few other things still percolating. But basically, they really need to come into agreement this week so that the code revisers and all the attorneys that actually put the legislation together after it's been agreed upon can do it in time for us to review it, brief it, offer amendments, and then vote on it by April 25th. So starting to be crunch time.
As we understand it now, non-budget bills that haven't passed both chambers of the state legislature, they're just dead. It's done.
Yes, mostly, although I have one of those bills that two of my bills did pass the House of Representatives last week, the hydrogen vehicle bill and also this utility wildfire bill, which if you want, I could recap those. But
sure.
Yeah, those two bills did pass. And, you know, the hydrogen vehicle bill, a Senate Bill 5000, aims to provide some equal tax treatment between hydrogen fuel cell vehicles and what the tax treatment has long been for battery electric vehicles in our state. And I think it's really important that if we're going to focus on having zero emission vehicles in our state, that we be technology neutral with state incentive policy for sales tax incentives. And so I'm really excited. You know, that bill passed through five committees this year. We really elevated the discussion about the potential for renewable hydrogen use throughout our state as a clean transportation fuel. As we talked about, Jeff, early in the session, that renewable hydrogen is actually going to be produced right here in our region outside of East Wenatchee with Douglas County PUD. They've actually broken ground on a renewable hydrogen production facility. So it's good timing to now have these incentives in place for the hydrogen vehicles. And the governor is expected to sign that bill in a couple weeks. The other bill was my utility wildfire bill, which helps to implement key recommendations from a electric utility, DNR, wildfire group, trying to minimize our risk of wildfires resulting from electric utility sparks and things. Basically, what happened to California is still bankrupting some of the utilities down there and caused a lot of economic damage and potentially rolling shutoffs and things like that during windstorms just to preemptively minimize liabilities for the utilities. So that's a big, big issue. I'm really thankful that bill passed as well. The Chelan PUD General Manager Steve Wright was very supportive the whole way through, testified at multiple committees. So two of those bills have passed. Although speaking of bills that could be dead, you know, I had that bill related to compensating the tow truck operators if they're called out by law enforcement and the driver's negligent and the drivers don't pay the tow truck operators. That bill made it all the way through the Senate committees and the full Senate, through the House of Representatives Transportation Committee, got to the floor of the House of Representatives and did not make it up to a vote. So as I mentioned, bills can kind of die all the way through the process, but it's really painful when they die right at the end of the process. So bills, yes, they are essentially dead, but sometimes when bills get that close, and there's such a kind of a easy lift to make, sometimes there's a sprinkling of these bills in addition to the bigger bills, like the budgets, you know, like in between these big budget votes and things like that, everybody's still assembled and voting. So they run a few of these smaller policy bills. And I certainly hope that would be the case with my tow truck operator bill in between these big budget and cap and trade and transportation investment bills that we might be running.
With the promise of these hydrogen fuels, how hard will it be for service stations to perhaps retrofit or incorporate hydrogen fueling opportunities?
Yeah, well, fortunately, not too difficult. There's actually, you know, with the hydrogen fueling infrastructure, there's actually many less challenges related to deploying that infrastructure than there is with the charging stations. And I support battery electric vehicles, charging stations, and all those things, but currently there's only 1% of the drivers in our state utilizing electric vehicles. And there are a lot of back-end upstream cost challenges and environmental impacts associated with getting the charging equipment to the charging stations. I mean, think about the substations, the transformers, sometimes actually new transmission lines if we start converting a huge number of our drivers to charging electrics. That can be done, but we're facing some huge challenges there. Now, with hydrogen, it's different. You know, you can refuel a hydrogen vehicle in 3 minutes, and it goes 350 miles. Sometimes the charging stations, you know, it takes 30 to 45 minutes, even on the fast charging, to recharge. And just think if you have, you know, on a busy holiday weekend, you know, if there's a few cars in front of you, and every car takes 30 minutes. I mean, that is, when you actually scale it up, it's really challenging with the battery electrics. With hydrogen, you don't have those challenges. You can basically add a hydrogen a tank to an existing gas and diesel type scenario, or you can do kind of like you do with propane tanks. You swap them out. You can have tanks above ground at these service stations that you can swap out as well. Or you can just build the fueling stations, which we're looking to do. Or you can do these combo fast charging and hydrogen fueling. So we think that the hydrogen fueling infrastructure can be deployed, you know, pretty quickly over a number of years in our state. Just, you know, and we could probably catch up pretty quickly to the battery electric infrastructure that's already in existence. But it may take a few years.
A lot of us are breathing a collective sigh of relief this morning as we find out that starting Friday, Cowlitz, Pierce, and Whitman counties will be rolling back into phase two of the governor's state economic reopening plan. So here in North Central Washington, we've avoided that. What are your thoughts on how the governor's handling this whole thing at this point?
Well, we kind of, you know, in North Central Washington anyway, we've dodged a bullet, but it's just there's something about it that doesn't quite seem right when we're all dependent upon one person to decide or not decide whether all these businesses can basically continue to operate. I mean, it's just, you know, I know Governor Inslee's been dealt a tough hand, but I've kind of said from the beginning that it's just been way too much sort of top-down, Olympia-based sets of directives, and I would much rather have more local control. And for the longest time, we've been frustrated with Governor Inslee, because we haven't been back in session, he hasn't called us into a special session, yet he continued to make a lot of these decisions unilaterally. But we thought when we once we got back into the legislative session that things would be different, but they really haven't been. So the governor basically is making some of these decisions for Cowlitz County and others without really consulting the legislature. And we're currently in session, and we're available to have those discussions. So we, you know, with the vaccinations that continue and people still practicing certain mitigation efforts with masking and things, hopefully we'll never have to see a phase two again. Hopefully we'll go to phase three and beyond. But it does sort of still stick in my craw that one person continues to make these decisions for the entire state of Washington, even when the legislature's still in session and he could have more give and take in the process.
I know Senate Republican Leader John Braun has made mention of the governor's emergency powers and frustration there, that there's just not a lot of interest on the other side of the aisle to do something about it. Has that been your experience?
I actually think there is interest on the other side of the aisle. I just don't know that they want to do it and run the risk of trying to, you know, embarrass the governor in some way. To me, you know, as we've discussed before, it's not really about Governor Inslee at this point. It's about our modernizing our emergency powers statute in our state that never anticipated a years-long pandemic or, you know, this constant emergency that the governor declares that we're in. I just don't know if they're willing to, you know, take up the time to run those bills, especially if the governor has already signaled privately, perhaps, that he won't sign them. I mean, if anything, we need the governor to sign these things and in order to become law, just like any other bill. So I think we have a couple options. We either have an option for a citizen initiative after the legislative session to try to do some sort of statewide reform and take it right to voters. Or if Governor Inslee at some point in his third term gets some sort of appointment to the Biden administration, there'll be a new governor put in place, and maybe at that point we can pass through some of these reforms that, in my opinion, are much needed and would help our state modernize an outdated statute related to emergency powers. I don't want to wipe away a governor or a president's emergency authority, though.
Sure.
That's important, but I just think there should be some checks in place. Like, the governor should be able to, you know, put some things in place for 30 days or 45 days. But if a governor wants to reauthorize, well, maybe he needs to call back the legislature into a special session to get legislative approval. It wouldn't really be that hard to do. He'd probably have the votes to do a lot of the things he wants to do. But having that legislative statewide buy-in, I think, would be an important step. And frankly, he'd probably have a lot more political support if he did that. It's kind of a head scratcher as to why, especially at this point, he doesn't reach out to do that.
It's a conundrum, indeed. State Senator Brad Hawkins, any final thoughts you'd like to share with the community this morning?
Well, there's still a lot of things going on, and if people have questions or concerns or feedback for me, I encourage everybody to reach out on my website at senatorbradhawkins.org, and we'll try to get all the answers to people's questions. And it's great to be on with you each week, Jeff. Thanks so much.
Good to have you, as always. Thank you very much.